Blog Talk Radio.
All right, that was anticlimactic.
All right, I'm back.
I'll click play then.
Yeah, theme music.
The best laid plans. No, I faded it. It doesn't, fade. It's just like...
I know, we're going to figure out a way to fade that out or something. Right?
Okay, we'll figure that out. I can inch it back. Anyway. Man, here I was feeling all awesome and mildly professional. Welcome to Out of Nowhere.
Welcome to Out of Nowhere.
Our second weird beta episode we're attempting, I guess. As we feel out how to get this done, because I don't want to call it an actual episode until we until we know what we're doing. I'm JC on the other end of the phone lines. TJ,
we're getting closer. We have theme music. We're getting closer.
We do. There's also a Twitter now. It's Out of Nowhere Show with no W because there's a character limit on Twitter handles. I found out today.
How dare they?
So it's Out of Nowhere SHO. On Twitter, you can follow there to keep up with whatever random crap I decide to put there, or once I eventually give TJ the password to it, he decides to put there.
Okay.
So you can follow us there. Yeah, it could be a disaster. Who knows? As if the show hasn't started a disaster in the last two times anyway.
Drunk huge tweet might become a neat little side segment.
Oh, no. Oh, but so we missed last week. Had a little bit of people being busy with the stuff. TJ was in a show, so I just didn't bother to track him down that late at night to get stuff done. We just skipped a week, but we can kind of roll into this week because it's been two kind of maintenance weeks for Raw.
Yeah, it's been, they're building the SummerSlam there.
Yeah, definitely on the build of Summer.
Right. It's theoretically the second biggest pay-per-view of the year, so it makes sense that you would have a couple of real storyline builders in the weeks leading to the go-home.
You're telling me we're building storylines?
We should be.
Oh, my God. It's crazy. So we'll get into that. We'll get into the little bit of Lesnar-Taker news that's going on. Seth Rollins and the heavyweight title picture. Rusev and Mark Henry battling for 2 weeks now for some weird reason. And so much more.
Well, I mean, truly, who would you rather see get a little bit of a push, Rusev or Mark Henry? It's got to be Rusev there, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, we'll get to that. Hashtag, we'll get to that. I guess we can start off tonight talking about Brock Lesnar and The Undertaker. Like I said, not too much new going on the last 2 weeks. Last week, we had just Heyman Lesnar out there for a promo. Lesnar making The Undertaker feel more human as Brock then comes out, throws stairs into the ring, and stands on them in the center of the ring like he's the topper on a trophy.
Man. Start me off. What are you thinking, man?
I'm happy with it. They're too. I hate using the term part timers. I hate it for anybody. I hate when The Rock was there with Cena and people called him part. I just hate that term. But for lack of a better term, they're two part timers. They're building a feud around them, and I don't know that it's a feud that needs much push outside of, we all know what happened to WrestleMania 30, which apparently is where this whole thing began. It didn't begin on SmackDown in years past.
And it's Brock and Taker. Even if they had zero history whatsoever, anyone can write a story about Brock and Taker. Everyone knows Brock and Taker well enough that that's the easy story to tell.
True. Yeah. Would it be more interesting, though, if this was their first time facing? I don't know. That's a hard question to ask and a hard question to judge, because then I guess he'd be like, why is Undertaker fighting at SummerSlam when he's now 22-0 or 23-0, I guess, at WrestleMania? That'd be weird. That'd be a weird question. So I guess there's no alternate universe where this can really exist. But yeah, they'll both be on Raw this week, so we'll get more build to them, which will be interesting. Face to face. What are they calling it? Same place, same time. Is that what they kept saying Monday night? Oh, you're good. They kept calling it, you know, same place, same time. Lesnar, Taker. I guess. Hope. I'm sure that we'll be face to face at some point. We won't get.
I think they're gonna get a little bit physical.
Yeah. It needs to end with, you know, the only weakness Brock Lesnar has, and that's being stabbed in the hand with a pin at a contract signing by The Undertaker.
I think you almost have to put a stipulation on this match to make it believable, don't you?
Yeah, I've been waiting for it to be no holds barred, because I feel like that's the best way to make this work. I know the spot will happen. And if it was no holds barred, I'd understand if it didn't happen, but it would still happen. It would still happen. If I could at least justify it. The first time The Undertaker goes through a German suplex from Brock Lesnar, I'm going to have a panic attack. Because Undertaker is not young. I think visibly in much better shape than he was at the time of WrestleMania 30, and when he came out this year, and then all the Instagram photos from Michelle McCool and all that we'd seen at WrestleMania 31. He looks much healthier than he did at WrestleMania 30. It doesn't stop me from being like, oh my God, he's gonna get concussed again.
I mean, if they put a no holds barred stiff on it and really let them go, and Brock cares, that's a big thing about that match too. If Brock cares, it can be a good match. If Brock doesn't care, it's probably gonna suck.
Yeah, I agree. I think Brock always cares because they're paying him. As long as he's being paid, he will care because he's Brock Lesnar. And you know, I think he admittedly loves to do it, but he's also there for the paycheck. So. Yeah, well, I don't care. But I think, I think I know holds barred stiff. If this match was to happen tomorrow, who do you see winning? I know we had this discussion last time about there's no good ending. But based on WWE booking logic and where they're at now, who wins? Yeah, I agree. I think that's the right decision.
I don't think either one's a wrong decision, but I think Lesnar should.
Yeah, I agree.
And you're better off long term if Lesnar wins this match.
Yeah, especially if we're building Lesnar. You know, who knows if Lesnar's done after this until, you know, Rumble season kind of starts up. We don't know the details of his date. And his schedule and everything. So it's possible we could still see Lesnar again at Night of Champions. I think he's already gotten his B-level pay-per-view for the year out of the way at Battleground.
Right.
But, well, you know, who knows? It's the same with Taker. Who knows how much he's going to be there? So.
Well, we could theoretically see a whole lot of Taker. Taker really is in good shape, and it's his retirement tour. Not in the ring, but just being around. You know, we could theoretically see a lot of Taker.
Yeah, my thought is if we see him the Monday after SummerSlam, he is absolutely on the retirement tour. And I begin to mourn immediately.
You know, I'll put it like this. I'm not shocked that he's in the world title picture come Mania.
I wouldn't be shocked. But I don't, if they would really have to work to make me want to see that.
To make me want to see it too. But I can imagine a universe, if I knew it was his retirement tour, where I would want to see it, I think.
I would want to see it, but I don't know if it would be the right thing long term.
Right.
At the same time. That's a tough thing. Unlike Big Show, if he's on a retirement tour, still don't put it near the belt. I don't care.
I love Big Show, man. Lay off.
I do too. I like him too, but his time is up.
Please don't retire, Big Show. We need you.
He did get some awesome please retire chance. But we'll get to that. We'll get to that. I guess in other Lesnar Taker news, after Raw last night, and I didn't watch it last night after Raw, I watched it this afternoon. They aired, I guess it was 20-30 minute special on the network about the Lesnar Taker feud and how it's built. And literally, it's like the only time they've ever met each other was in the build up to WrestleMania 30, was the way they acted. And they interviewed superstars talking about it and everything. Nothing really groundbreaking. It was like, you know, everyone was shocked when Taker did the job at 30. That was kind of the big thing. But nothing real interesting there, other than we're just ignoring the fact that these two used to fight each other on SmackDown, and that was entertaining too. Which I'm still,
right.
I know Vince sees everything as very short term, and people aren't thinking that far back. Why would they care? But
nobody
I would like
SmackDown.
No, nobody watched SmackDown, especially when it was even when it was beating Raw, and Heyman was in charge. Nobody watched it. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, not much new there. Interesting note about Raw, and I was telling you about this before we started the show. Even with Lesnar and Taker not being on the show, I asked you what you thought about where the ratings would be. Also, no Cena on Raw. Where do you think the ratings ended up in the midst of all of that? Up, down, or same?
I think they probably, oh God. Were they real good? They were probably real good, weren't they? Because that's not what I'm expecting. I would expect them to be very bad.
They were up. They finished number 2 on cable behind Love and Basketball, I think, if I remember reading that correctly. I don't see that in this article I'm looking at. They averaged 3.83 million viewers, the best number all summer, without Cena, Lesnar, or The Undertaker.
And, you know, they had some good wrestling on the show.
Yes. Yeah, it's a solid Raw.
But you know what the real answer is there? And I hate to be this guy, but it's Daniel Bryan in Seattle. That's why the numbers are that high. It would have made a lot of sense for him to announce a comeback, and people were watching and hoping.
Yeah. Well, I even look at the... Because that seg started at the top of hour 3, right? Right at 11 or 10? That started right at 10 o'clock, right? In this TV segment?
Because
the start of hour 2 was the triple threat. So, yeah. So, if you look at the breakdown of the ratings, and this is... It kind of looks like the typical ratings pattern for Raw. Hour 1 drew 3.79 million. Hour 2 drew 3.94 million. And hour 3 drew 3.77. So, they were mildly consistent with hour 2 up, which makes sense because people like to watch, you know, maybe just the first 2 hours or the last 2 hours. So that middle hour is generally always the highest. You need to look at that. Technically, if you think about it that way, Stephen Amell didn't pop the rating. Brian didn't pop the rating. If you're going to give credit there, I think it goes to that triple threat match. Again, I know how that works, but if you're WWE and Vince's weird world looking at this, you give it to the triple threat, right? Not even the Divas, they were in the first hour.
Either way, I'm encouraged that the ratings are up, and I'm encouraged that the ratings are up on a show that featured some pretty good wrestling by some guys that I hope are getting noticed.
Yeah, definitely. So we'll move on to that. We can talk about where all the good wrestling right now involves the World Heavyweight title. Who would have thought that the best wrestling in the company used to be the IC title? That was the workers' title. Right now, I guess, well, it was the US title there until Cena got his nose shattered. He looks good. He was on Tough Enough tonight. They did confirm that it will be Rollins and Cena title for title at SummerSlam on Tough Enough, because anything to help the ratings for Tough Enough. He looked good, other than both eyes still being black, but coated with makeup, but you could tell they were still swollen and black.
I don't like the title v title stiff, I don't think.
Yeah, I feel the same way. I feel like it's telegraphing what's...
But this is what I will say about it, okay? I think legitimately what the WWE is doing is taking the two very best wrestlers in the WWE today and headlining a pay-per-view with them. And I can't complain with that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
John Cena's the best face. Seth Rollins is the best heel, acting being the total package. And I'm not a, I have no problem with you putting your top face versus your top heel at the second biggest pay-per-view of the year.
Yeah.
You know, I can't complain with that booking.
Oh my god, when you phrase it that way, I'm suddenly, like, at peace with it. I'm more like, yes, that does make sense. Yeah, and Rollins has looked great. Not that Rollins ever puts on a bad match, but let's see. Last week, he had the open challenge with Neville, which was a stellar match, which we knew would be a killer match.
I hope Neville, I doubt he will, but I hope Neville was given a chance to run with the ball a little bit. I don't know that he'll
ever will be.
But he's a great wrestler, man.
Yeah. I think they're still trying to find his voice a little bit. And right now they've got him in the comic book feud, which is fine. I think that's a good place for him too right now. I have no problem with that.
I think it's a great place. I think it's a great place for him to learn. I think
I think
when you think of guys like the Hardy Boys and the New Brood, who came up through, you know, they came up through silly gimmicks of being vampires and crap like that, but they were really good wrestlers. And even though they were stuck with kind of the weird gimmick, they were able to learn from it and really become world title caliber guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Don't talk shit about Rude. Gangrel was the shit, and he's still the shit. Rising up through the stage with the fire, and all kind of laughing to each other. It's still one of my favorite entrances. I love it. I don't know why. Oh, Edge and Christian. Yeah, they had a killer match. The Neville-Rollins match was swerving me hard, too, because as soon as they announced it, I was like... All right, or as soon as it happened, I was like, all right, well, Rollins is going to win. Whatever. I'll enjoy this. It'll still be a good match. And then those the false finishes that happened were so incredibly perfect. The leg on the rope, that one kick out he had at 2.9 seconds, I thought Neville was going to win that match.
And I didn't actually get to see that match, but I hope the announcers pointed out, or at least nudged to, especially if they already knew the result. I hope they would have nudged to the fact that Sheamus and Neville have had a rivalry as of late. Because if they mention that, all of a sudden it's in your head that Sheamus has Money in the Bank. We could see Neville win tonight because Sheamus could cash in Money in the Bank on him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they didn't mention that, but as soon as that all that kind of started, and I thought Neville was gonna win, I was like, he might actually win this, but crap, they're gonna have Neville or Sheamus cash in on him. Unfortunately, there, fella. But yeah, last week was great. I thought the open World Heavyweight Title Challenge was great. This week, Raw starts with Rollins coming out and again talking about him destroying Cena's face, and Cena's not going to be here tonight, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait, and he looks over at the announcers. He's like, Cena's here? Oh, he's here via satellite. And they turn to the Titantron, and there in Conan O'Brien style is the picture of John Cena with the the nose that's right under his right eye and just the mouth moving, singing his own theme lyrics, which I thought was hilarious. Anytime anyone goes doo 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 doo, I appreciate it. It makes me happy. I'll laugh every time. That whole bit gets interrupted by Cesaro asking for the open challenge, and then Owens comes out and says, "No, you don't deserve it. I'm the one that beat Cena, you know, and Cena made you tap, so I should get the challenge. You know, I should get the title." And Orton comes out and calls Owens fat and tells Cesaro he has nice glasses and says he should have the title shot tonight. And you know, Rollins says he doesn't have to do anything. He doesn't have to listen to anybody. He doesn't have to listen to the authority. At which point, out loud, I said, "Oh, good, Triple H is coming." And Triple H came out and said, "Well, I think you're wrong about that, Seth. We're going to have a triple threat with Orton, Owens, and Cesaro tonight to determine a number one contender to face you in the main event." I thought that was a decent segment.
It's a long opening segment, but there have been worse.
Yeah, it was the typical 20-minute opening talk segment, but it was fine. It was funny. I enjoyed it. Cesaro is finding his voice, which is good. He's improved dramatically on the mic. He's finally starting to connect. Crazy.
I love
it. Because he never did before. And, yeah. Owens is always great. Orton is Randy Orton. Love him or hate him. He's Randy Orton. I like him. I love Randy. Randy can do no wrong to me.
Who doesn't? I mean, that's the whole thing. But at the same time, you kind of have to feel like, you know, the match you want to see, and Orton's here too sometimes. But I've never seen a match that Randy was in that Randy made the match worse. You know what I mean? Like, he's Randy. He's great to have around. We all love Randy Orton, but
I constantly feel like Randy's mindset is, "I'm only here so I don't get fined." He's during a match, and he's constantly just like, "I'm at work, whatever. I'm ready to go home now." Like, it's just, I love him for that. He looks like he could not care less.
You know, the crazy thing about Randy, too, is he's kind of like the locker room leader at this point.
Yeah, he is the
He's old man Randy now. You know what I mean? Like,
I want to hear stories in another 10 years of Rand, you know, like we've all begun to hear the stories. I think they all kind of run through all the ones that exist about, you know, wrestler's court taker being the judge in wrestler's court. You think Orton runs wrestler's court now? Nope.
I met Randy one time. He was kind of a dick.
Yeah. You're not the only person that has ever said that seems to be a common thing with Randy. That's okay.
I mean, I'm a big fan, don't get me wrong. Even with him kind of being a dick, I'm not still a huge fan. But I met him one time. He was kind of a dick.
He's living the gimmick, brother. So he and Owens and Cesaro have their triple threat match. It went pretty much the way I expected it to, with Orton becoming involved every once in a while, but you know, the biggest spots and the best action, including that awesome springboard corkscrew uppercut. That happened. Cesaro to Owens. Of course, in the end, it ends with Orton winning the triple threat, advancing to have a chance at the WWE title at the end of the night. Thoughts on that match? I don't have a whole lot to say about it. It was a good match. It wasn't crazy spot fest, but it was solid. It was decent. It was given plenty of time at the top of hour two. It was just good. Stunned silence is your emotion, I guess, right?
Yeah, man. I'm sorry. I got distracted. I was thinking about wrestling.
Oh. Yeah, this is going to be my recurring theme tonight. They're like, yeah, that was a good match. I don't have a whole lot to say about it, but it was a good match, and I like where things are going.
Yeah. It was. I mean, consistently, the wrestling has been really good on Raw, and that's a nice place to start, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, who would have thought Raw is wrestling? Woo! Woo! Hold me. It's getting crazy. So yeah, they have a good tour. I like that there's just no strong opinions either. We're all both just like, nah, it was fine. It was good. I enjoyed it. Orton Rollins match in the main event. Okay, I have strong opinions about this, the Orton Rollins match. Orton Rollins, have a great match. Again, swerved me to hell thinking Orton was going to win it. Because I was like, Orton's going to win it, and Sheamus is going to cash in, and crap's going to be all kinds of crazy going into SummerSlam. Right. Orton gets the 2.999 pin on Rollins. And then the worst possible thing that could ever happen on any episode of Raw happened, and Sheamus interfered, pulling him out of the ring and throwing him over the barricade. Sheamus gets in the ring, brogue kicks Seth, hands the referee his briefcase, and the referee apparently has never seen the briefcase or does not know what the briefcase contains, because he's like, I don't know what to do with it. As they stand there for what felt like an eternity, which it was easily 30 seconds, until Orton remembered, oh yeah, I have to go interfere again, gets back up over the barricade, back in the ring, RKO Sheamus, and then stands tall to end the night. Thoughts on that? Oh god, that whole end was his fault though. Don't get me wrong, it was a good, I like the concept of what happened. If it was SmackDown and we could have edited it to be nice and tight, would have been perfect. Was not perfect because it was on live television.
You know, I think part of it's setting up, which I know Cena's going to be back. They announced it tonight. But I think part of it truly was a backup plan of, if Cena can't go, if he's not ready for SummerSlam, then we can always run Seth, Randy, Sheamus.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that was clear. Because I bet they didn't know until today. Which it was good. It was good. It was nice to see that maybe they were thinking, all right, we're going to kind of be ready with this. That does mean we'll probably, and Orton doesn't have anything announced for SummerSlam yet. I'm sure it will be him and Sheamus. I pray to God it's not in like a last man standing match. Actually, that would be nice because that'll give me a chance to use the bathroom. That'll give me a chance to use the bathroom and make some snacks during the show.
Certainly, we can come up with something fresher than Sheamus Orton, can't we?
What? How is that not the freshest thing ever? It's like Cena and Orton. You've never seen this before. So, yeah, I guess we'll go into that. Maybe they'll put the briefcase on the line and give the briefcase to Randy. Not that I ever want to see. Not that I'm at any point. I was going to say that I ever want to see Randy hold the belt again. I don't mean that. Not that I'm in a place where I want to see Randy have the belt anytime soon and have that possibility be there. They could do something different with that match. Put the briefcase on the line or something. I don't know.
Let me just say, because it still hasn't been announced, and the nice thing about WWE is everything is always written in pencil. If you could pick anyone to be Randy's opponent at SummerSlam, who do you give Randy at SummerSlam? Who should he be fighting?
forgot that we're recording a podcast and that air is a bad thing. I guess in a perfect world, they could, don't get me wrong, but you should not swerve to this direction at this point. I would love to see Legend Killer Randy Orton make a return against Sting.
Against who?
Sting.
Oh, neat. Yeah, you definitely can't swerve that way this late.
You couldn't get to that? That would be cool. It would have taken the full 5 weeks of build. Right. That would have been cool.
Nothing from this but, point. Could you really
okay, play? Realistically, God, I don't know. There's no one but Sheamus who you would put him against.
I mean,
maybe you put him in a triple threat with Cesaro and Owens to determine the number one contender for after SummerSlam, because, oh my God, that would make it too much like a real sport. We'd have to have foresight for that. But I can see them being in a triple threat again, those three, for number one contender. I don't know.
Who would you book to win?
That's the tough answer to that. The WWE booker in me says, well, Orton, of course it's Orton. Why don't you have Orton win? He's the safe bet. Owens could carry that kind of feud. Owens could carry a world title level feud. The fans, the general fan base is not ready for him to carry that kind of feud.
I think this is crazy.
I feel the opposite way. Go ahead, sorry.
I think if KO gets the shot, he's going to blow people's minds. I don't think.
I agree, but I worry that you would have the same kind of Roman Reigns type backlash against him.
I don't think
so. He'll be like, oh, he's getting shut. He wouldn't, because the Roman Reigns backlash came from the internet wrestling community at large.
Right.
I feel the opposite about. I feel if Cesaro got that push, people would embrace it and be so stoked. I don't know. He's almost there. He's almost ready for that kind of push. His mic skills, his ring work is fine. That is not the issue. The character isn't fully there yet. They're almost there with the character. They're almost there with his mic work. I worry that that would all fall apart under the pressure of that. Kind of like what happened with all the pressure that was on Reigns before WrestleMania, and it kind of fell apart. But now that the pressure's off of him, we're actually seeing Reigns start to kind of build a character and become more in his own. And we've seen that with Cesaro, but I worry if that kind of pressure was there, it might fall apart.
But that's a pretty good segue into Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose.
Oh my God, you're skipping so ahead on the round, but we can go into that. That's fine.
I mean, we can skip back. What do you have up next?
I was going to tease that. The next thing I have, what did I have next? I had the Divas next, but screw them. Let's talk about Roman Reigns and his butt. Let's talk about Roman Reigns and his buddy Dean Ambrose. Dean Ambrose and his first friend ever, Roman Reigns.
Oh, poor Dean. I can't wait for the really broody, really, really broody Creed heel turn promos where Renee is trying to get an interview and he's just being an asshole to her.
Yeah, it's going to be still adorable. I worry that we're building up this friendship so much, it's clear Dean is going to turn at SummerSlam. But we're not going to talk about that now because I don't want to think about it. Because I keep having my heart ripped out by these guys turning on each other, and I can't keep going through it.
Dean is such a good face. Why would you want to turn him?
Because he could be a mega. He could be a monster heel too.
But why? Why?
When I looked at the Shield originally too, when I looked at those three guys, and I was like, all right, one of them has to turn. I always thought that guy was Dean Ambrose, the one that would turn on the other two.
But then I saw him as a face and realized how incredible he was in that role, and why would you screw up what's not broken? Everyone loves Dean Ambrose. Everyone wants to pull for Dean Ambrose. Let him pull for Dean Ambrose.
Yeah. I hope it doesn't happen. It looks like it may, but I hope
turn
it doesn't
Roman.
Happen.
Why can't you just turn Roman?
I don't want to see Roman. If Roman, he'd be terrible. He'd be terrible. His face, you can't hate his face. Those eyes. Sorry, I've been reading a lot of Tumblr lately.
You yeah, I can tell, man. That was very nice. Hashtag gave Diva the chance.
Oh God, that promo though. That backstage promo they cut was so good. And the whole time it's going on, I'm looking at Reddit at the same time. People are freaking stupid. And I'm like, oh, this is the greatest thing ever to me. Like, I know everything about Roman. I know how he likes his coffee, hot with a little bit of sugar. He likes his water, room temperature. And how about my beer? Ice cold. Boom. I was dying. It was... Why are these two not on a run to the tag team titles? I know it's below them, but they had them.
That's the other reason I don't think Dean should be a heel. How can you not love Dean?
But wouldn't it rip your heart out if he turned heel, and that would be the perfect thing? He'd get so much heat. He would get so much heat.
He's just... You just pull for him so much. He's just so damn likable.
Yes. And it's unfortunate that they're stuck in a feud with Bray Wyatt. Who was fortunately not that talkative last night. Thank God. He's great when he's just in the ring. He's not rambling for 20 minutes at a time in a smoky room only Sheamus can find, apparently. Oh, yeah. So that match was announced for SummerSlam. They're billing it as if Michael calls it this one more time, I was gonna break my stereo attached to my television. They're billing it as family versus family. Reigns and Ambrose versus Harper and Wyatt in a tag match at the SummerSlam. Harper and Ambrose have a match last night. Pretty standard for those two. Nothing we haven't seen before out of them. Reigns and Wyatt are inside. Most hilarious part when Wyatt comes out, makes Byron Saxton give him his chair. Saxton has to stay in the rest of the match, which elicits a chance of sit down Byron from the crowd in Seattle.
Awesome.
It was great. Thoughts on this feud and where they're going to SummerSlam and how that's going to turn out? Again, the match on Raw was fine. I don't have any comments on it. It kept building to SummerSlam.
We've seen these four guys. You know, we know what they're bringing, but at the same time, I think it can be a fun match. There's a lot. Vince is on a tag kick.
Yeah. Teddy Long in charge of booking. Playa. But yeah, it's fine. It'll be good. Ambrose and Harper will do most of the heavy lifting in that match. Yeah, Rollins and Wyatt will hit their key spots. It'll be good. It'll be a good match. I'm not upset with it.
Who do you put over?
Wyatt and Harper go over because Ambrose turns on Reigns. That is literally the only way I see this ending at this point. That's the ending I see happening at this point.
God, I just can't stand that.
I know, me too. I hate it so much. But it's going to happen. I feel it, man.
How does Dean turn? I mean, what does he... He can't become part of the Wyatt family, can he?
He could.
That would just be the worst.
I thought, you know, I said Roman was my first friend, but then Bray showed me something in the smoke, and I said, ooh, that's cool, and I joined the Wyatt family. Crazy. I don't know.
Oh, I hate that. I feel like Dean deserves to be in the main event picture. I really do.
At some point. I guess you can say that about everybody, though. I can always be like, yeah. I'm not, at this point, like, the only person that should be in the main event seems Daniel Bryan. But,
I think.
Because I feel so unresolved.
I think the reason it upsets me so much with Dean that he's not in the main event picture is because I think his very best match is Seth. You know what I mean? And then, like, if you're gonna see him win a world championship, you want to see him win it against Seth. I feel like, but
yeah.
Oh well.
I'd take him winning it off Roman. I would take heel Dean Ambrose winning it off face Roman Reigns. You could put Roman in chase mode on Dean. That would be interesting. Yeah, you like that idea, huh? See? Yeah.
I really want Dean's face. I really, but anyways, I digress. We skipped the Divas, right?
Yeah, again, this will be a whopping 30 seconds of disco. That's not true, because I want to start with... Last week, Paige, Charlotte, and Becky's team gets named the Submission Sorority. That name mysteriously disappeared this week. I wonder why. Oh, yeah. Google it. It's porn. I just like, check these things. And now they're Team PCB, which when you Google it, the first thing that comes up is printed circuit board. Okay, I think we're fine. I think we're good now. It's a little dangerously close to PCP, but we're okay. What was the match? I don't even remember. Team Bad and Team Bella thought that was a match, and it was fine. And then they announced the Trios three-way for SummerSlam. And I'm getting kind of tired of this thing, because... Who cares? There's a title there, but nobody wants it. We just want to fight each other.
They're just killing time until Nikki or Brie or, yeah, Nikki. Nikki's the one.
Until Nikki passes AJ's record?
Yeah, that's all they're doing. They're just killing time.
That's all they're doing.
Then the Divas division is going to get real, real good. But
I know. But I feel like they're ruining them right now. They've squandered the debuts of three fantastic women.
I loved the Triple Diva debut, and I think we need to keep giving this a chance and see where it goes, because it kind of reminds me of when the Hardy Boys and the Dudley Boys and Edge and Christian all kind of came out right around the same time. That's kind of what this feels like to me.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, because even that feud, it had nothing to do with the belts. That was all about, like, hey, who's going to go get the most over tonight? Like, that was that whole. Yeah. So it happened. We'll see what happens at SummerSlam. I don't know. Bailey shows up. Bailey's going to show up and wreck them all. The end. Going to be perfect. Her and the wacky waving of like alarm boiling two men.
I'm just waiting for Tamina Snuka to get the pinfall.
Not going to happen. Also, she's the only one that's yet to be in a singles match in this thing.
That's your thing. I'm waiting for her, for Vince to just completely go, ha ha ha, we'll give Tamina a chance. And Tamina Snuka to win the man's title.
That's right. So you think we're going to give us a chance? Okay. Well, yes. Yeah, Nikki can lose the belt after she passes AJ. She's going to lose it to Tamina. It's gonna be great. She's got the Samoan legacy. That worked so well for Roman. it's in maintenance mode, that whole storyline. I do like the little video packages they're doing. They did the one for Charlotte this week. I think they did one for Becky on SmackDown not too long ago. They did a little package for Sasha. They're fine. Build them up. Once they all break out and get back to singles, it's better. Not that it's bad now, but it could be better. So we'll get there. We'll get there one day. Let's see, what do I have next? Any more talk on Divas? Sorry, I just started moving on.
Again, I think I'm good on two.
Yeah. Again, something without strong opinions. It's just kind of a thing that's going on.
I like it. I like that it's happening.
I do too. Yeah. The next segment I titled The Tag Team Picture, or How I Learned to Live the New Day, or Love the New Day. To which my first sub thing I wrote was New Day's intro. Great or greatest part of Raw?
I love New Day. God, how can you not? They're just
I can't even focus on watching their matches because I'm laughing the entire time. Starts with Big E doing his skip with his like wide arm, or no, he's doing the back and forth kind of clap. Kofi's skipping, like clapping complete circles. Xavier's just yelling the entire time, and it does not stop until he leaves the arena again.
Man,
God, they're perfect. Can they put the belts back for Sam, please? Off the primetime players who are fine, not the New Day.
I love the New Day so much that if I could go back in time, I would book Kofi to win Money in the Bank because I love New Day that much.
Yeah. Man, I want to go back in time to tell me of pre-WrestleMania, like, no, I know you see this gimmick and you think it sucks balls. Just give it. Give it a hot second. They're gonna fix it.
It's you, man. I love New Day. New Day is just the best.
I know. The best part was even last night. Like the chants were not majority New Day sucks. It was New Day rocks. They have gotten themselves so over. Right. It's awesome. It's so good.
They full Big Showed. They were faces, and they were so bad at being faces, they became heels. And then they were so good at being heels that they've become faces again.
So they have a match with Los Matadores. I completely forgot who the match was against. I didn't write it down. I was like, I don't know. Some jobber tagged. I was going to say the Ascension, because I knew whoever was lost. But they have, after that match, they win, of course. They have a great little backstage interview segment with Renee, where Renee informs that, you're going to get your title shot at SummerSlam against the primetime players and the Lucha Dragons and Los Matadores. So we've got a four-way tag team match against two teams of Spot Monkeys at SummerSlam. So that should be fun. That'll be a good way to start the pre-show, because that's where it'll be, even though they haven't said it yet. Because the tag team titles are always on the pre-show.
You know, because we also need a pre-show. I can't see how they can do that on the pre-show.
There will be a pre-show match. Because at WrestleMania, the tag team title match was the curtain jerker for the pre-show, and that was a four-hour pay-per-view.
Jesus Christ.
Remember the pre-show for WrestleMania was the tag team title match and Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, both on the pre-show. So yeah, it's possible.
There is so much, and they give it. Oh man, there is so much. I love it.
It's fine as long as it's Kofi and Big E in the ring, and they're both very good in the ring. And Xavier just yelling nonsensical things at ringside. At one point yesterday, he just yells, "I'm out of breath. I don't care. I'm out of breath. I'm going to keep yelling." I'm like, what are you doing? I have a new love for Xavier Woods between that and his YouTube channel, his gaming YouTube channel, which if you've never watched it.
I've heard.
Oh, they're so good. Oh, it's go back. All this.
I know he and Seth Rollins did Turtles in Space. I'm really interested to watch that review.
That one was good. So he does, like, so the channel, it's up, up, down, down on YouTube. There's kind of, like, different types of videos he does. He does ones where, like, he just plays scary videos, or like he calls those videos the jump scare videos, which he just did one with Big E, like Five Nights at Freddy's, which was hilarious. He does ones that are Gamer Gauntlet, which are he and the usual crew of people who are playing are him, Heath Slater, Uso, Rusev's been in a few of them. I think I said Heath Slater. Damian Sandow, Kalisto was in one. Neville's been in a bunch now. Like tournament style playing a game, and like somebody wins and they win a power glove, and whoever loses gets a punishment. Those are entertaining. And then he does ones where he like plays like a co-op game with somebody and kind of almost kind of interviews them while he's playing. They're all worth a good watch. Like I said, up, down, down on YouTube. They're good. He usually does about one of each type a week. He's good. He films them. You can tell he films them like backstage at the shows. They're really good. So give that a watch. And then also watch The New Day. Being generally awesome every week on WWE.
Man,
any more thoughts on The New Day rocks? We were flying through this stuff a lot faster than I thought we would. Again, everything's just kind of like, yeah, it's fine right now. I have no comments or concerns. It's fine.
Yeah, I know. Stuff's just happening, I guess.
Next. It's fine. Okay. That's good. I feel we can. I think I'm putting this down. I think it's going to end up taking longer. Stephen Amell makes his Raw. I guess it's not his debut because he was on not that long ago. Stephen Amell jumped Stardust last night. We now have a tag SummerSlam with a Jobber, or I'm sorry, King Barrett. And Stardust versus Arrow, the Green Archer.
I don't mean to be the guy who is all like, Kayfabe sucks, but why is it that we let Stephen Amell jump the barricade, but when the guy tries to do it in the RVD Eddie Guerrero no holds barred match, he gets fucked up?
Because Kayfabe. He's got a real beef, man. They've been feuding. I don't know. You're f***ing off. It's WWE. Professional wrestling. Stop thinking.
Well.
But yeah, it's the whole thing, I guess.
I think he did play well. I think there's certainly a place for it if you have someone who can do it fairly well.
Did you see comments for it last night?
Say again.
Did you see it all in the segments for last night?
I did.
Yeah, so good. I kind of recap, like, see King Barrett as a King Jobber in a 1-10 second squash match. Yes, it was literally in 10 seconds. Stardust comes out to kind of screw with Neville. See Stephen Amell, pie faces him back into a seat, and then Amell in one of the celebrity feats of athleticism I've ever seen in a WWE event. One hops the barricade, Lesnar hops onto the apron, hops over the top rope, spears Stardust, and starts elbowing him in the face. WWE pulls him off. Neville. Stardust and Barrett kind of retreat as the two heels, and Neville and Amell are in the ring. Thoughts on that part of the segment first?
Again, like I said, I think there's a place for it. I think, remember, King Barrett is a 5-time Intercontinental Champion.
King Jobber.
That's
what he is now. Let's just be honest.
He is somehow 5-time Intercontinental Champion and King of the Ring. He is literally the one jobber who always seems to fuck up and win a title.
Oh, God. I just want to know who he pissed off and who he keeps pissing off. So that's the only way you get consistently married like this, is to really piss somebody off that matters. Because he's not talented. He's a good worker. He keeps getting stuck with poor gimmicks.
He can, and I hear that, but this is my question there, okay? And this is the way you kind of have to look at that when you see a guy jobbing, okay? Whose spot do you take away to give Barrett a push? You know what I'm saying?
Right. Here's where I think the inherent problem lies at this point. And we're taking the time machine back to the Nexus. If Barrett goes over Cena, we're not in this situation at all.
I think so as well, but I'll also say we are in this situation now. And since we are in this situation now, we have to assess what we do moving forward. And moving forward, whose spot would you take away to push Barrett?
Ryback.
Ryback? I mean, yeah, Ryback.
Without...
Do you want Face Barrett?
I'll take Face Barrett. Give him the bad news gimmick back as a face. Because that gimmick got way over. And that gimmick got over in a really way too, because the crowd loved it. And we're doing it with him.
Yeah.
That gimmick was not a heat magnet. So you can give him back his bad news gimmick and face turn him. Hell, let's not say. I know shenanigans will happen at SummerSlam. Have him and Cena kind of rekindle a feud with that bad news gimmick. It doesn't even need to be that. Have him and Cena start going after it with the U.S. title on the line. Rebuild him. And you've got their history there.
Yeah, but
there's plenty of ways to. I would, eventually. But...
You think of everyone on the roster, Wade Barrett's the right one to put over Cena.
No.
And that's ultimately my
at this point everyone could go over Cena, and I think he's bulletproof. But when you look at it like that, then you say, well, no one's ever good enough to go over Cena.
I'm not saying no one is ever good enough to go over Cena. I'm saying you have to make it count every single time you put someone over Cena. And you have to think you're only going to put one or two guys over Cena for the rest of the year. Do you really want Wade Barrett to be one of those one or two guys, or are there better guys we could put there?
Well, it should have been Owens, but we can't backtrack on that now.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I think Barrett's kind of in the right spot. Because I don't want him, you can't give him Owens a spot. You can't give him Cesaro's spot. You can't give him Seth's spot. Like, what spot do you have to give him?
You put him in an international heel faction that's him,
with
Sheamus,
and Rusev.
Rusev, Paige.
Absolutely agree.
You could even turn Neville heel, and it would be fun.
I've thought for a long time that I would love a faction of Rusev, Barrett, and Sheamus.
Yeah, it'd be so good.
I think King of the Ring would have been the right time to do it too. They could have been the King's Court.
This is going to sound terrible. And so anti, like, my love for history of the WWE. But I think after the way the last two King gimmicks have gone, it's time to get rid of it forever.
You got to do something.
I think we're done with the King thing. And I think, or you could give someone King of the Ring. Just when they win, you don't have to call them King whatever the entire time. King Sheamus and King Barrett.
Exactly. That's the whole.
They don't have to wear a crown. Stone Cold did not wear a scepter and carry a crown. Jake the Snake did not carry a scepter and win the crown. Jim Duggan did not carry a scepter and win the crown. Like, so inherently that becomes the problem with that gimmick at this point. But I digress off of the amazingness that is Stephen Amell at this point. I've never watched an episode of Arrow. I didn't even know who this guy was until this whole thing started. But then he has easily the best bit of acting in a promo ever, in my opinion, backstage with Triple H. He's the only one ballsy enough to ever cut off Triple H mid-sentence. And demands a match with Stardust, for his honor for being a man that's been attacked. And says he'll sign whatever papers lawyers want to draw up to release of any liability. And Triple H says fine, and makes a tag team match of Stardust and Barrett versus Neville and the Green Archer, the Red Arrow and the Green Arrow for SummerSlam. And I am greatly looking forward to this. Because if he looks that athletic then, I'm sure he's been training. And he's not great. He'll be better than anyone that's tough enough. But he will carry his own in that match.
I think so, too. And I think you have three very good, young, capable of carrying a match workers to put him with.
Exactly. Yep. Yep. This is the best use of a celebrity WWE has had. It is way better than Kathy Lee and Hoda.
This is good use of celebrity, and it's I think it's productive for everybody right now.
It's helping to build a young celebrity to a base of people who probably don't know who he is, like myself. I don't think there's gonna be a lot of crossover. Like, I don't think a lot of the people are gonna suddenly start loving WWE, but yeah, it's good for both brands. So, I am like super hyped looking forward to this. I don't know why. I think Stardust, the whole idea that Stardust is so delusional, he can't tell that this character playing is a superhero. He thinks Stephen Amell is a superhero. Just that subtlety in the character of Stardust right now is so good.
I think individually, I love Cody, I love Neville, and I think Barrett's a pretty good wrestler. And I think Amell's in a situation where he's more likely to succeed than not. I think he's going to look good as far as celebrity appearances go.
Yeah. I honestly feel like this match has steal the show potential, the card as we know it so far. You know, title match, John Cena match will be Undertaker. Probably the greatest match, but it'll be fine. It'll tell the story. The tag team match is a tag team match. The Divas Trios match is a Divas match. Sheamus and Orton. Let's assume that's happening, or whatever. The IC title, it'll be fine. This could steal the show. I am hype on this match.
I mean, it's Miz, Ryback, Big Show. I think Daniel Bryan was used correctly to rub Ryback on Monday. I think that was good use of D-Bry. To make your idea.
It was. I had every enemy that I was going to save that. I knew that wasn't what was going to happen. And when it didn't happen, I was heartbroken. But, like, I wanted him to be like, nah, I'm cool. I got cleared. I'll be back at SummerSlam. See you guys in 2 weeks. And be like, oh, snap. And it didn't happen. But that's okay. But yeah, that was good news. This whole feud needs to kind of, we need to put the time back Miz and find him someone to feud with. And
let me ask you a question.
Okay.
What if Vince pulled the biggest swerve in history and Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble?
We would have to record a special episode at 11:05 p.m. that Sunday night, where it's 2 hours of me crying over how much I love him and how excited I am.
I think I can certainly imagine a universe where that happens.
I could see it happening this year. I honestly believe maybe less Rumble this year.
The WWE has to have a good Rumble this year. They have to.
Yeah.
And the way to build a good Rumble, because I've been watching a lot of Rumbles lately, and the way to build a good Rumble is to have several credible threats to win.
Yeah.
You have to not know who's going to win until the Rumble starts.
Yeah.
Give me a credible Roman. Give me a credible Dean. Give me a credible Seth. Give me a Brock. Give me a Taker. Give me a Cena. Give me a, you know, and then sneak in a Daniel Bryan unannounced at the end.
Yeah. Hell, maybe that's what they're thinking at this point, is let him heal until January. Just give him time off, let him do his book, and do nothing until then. Oh, my God. Now you've got me so excited for that. And when it doesn't happen, just like this year, I'll see Daniel Bryan go flying out of the animal pan. That's gold dust. You said the word dreams.
Well, I'm going to have to damper your expectations just a little bit, because you realize that. Let me explain, because you realize it would have to be world champion in order for all of those people I just named to be credible threats in the Rumble, don't you? Sheamus.
Oh, God, no.
The only world where Daniel Bryan wins the Royal Rumble is if the main event of SummerSlam is Daniel Bryan versus
I can hear
Sheamus.
I can hear. This is going to be their crowning achievement. It's the crowning of their WrestleMania trilogy.
Truly, that's how Vince is going to sell it. And you know what might be a hell of a match? I'm sure Sheamus would have all the
people
and Bryan would be the biggest babyface ever.
Or you turn Cena before you get there. Cena's holding the title.
Oh, man, heel Cena versus face Bryan. God almighty.
Lesnar could have it.
You can't do that to me, buddy. That's unfair.
That could happen. Again, this is fantasy play, what you did last time way too much. Or Lesnar has the title back. And we get the David and Goliath story.
Really, it doesn't matter who holds the title.
You know what I want to do this year?
Hell, Dolph Daniel Bryan would be a great match.
Yeah. Heel Cesaro and Daniel Bryan.
Oh, man. Wyatt Bryan is great.
God, no. No. No.
Wyatt Bryan is fantastic, and you're just wrong.
Yeah. You know who I want Lesnar to face at WrestleMania this year?
Who? Rhonda.
Kevin Owens.
I want Lesnar to fight Rhonda for the World Championship.
No, you know who I want to have the World Championship 17 times? Charlotte. She should be the only one that ever breaks her dad's record. Oh, I'm sorry.
You think Charlotte Flair should be in the world title picture?
Absolutely. Anyway. I don't either. It's terrible. It's a terrible idea. But wouldn't it be cool if the only person that broke Ric Flair's record was his daughter? I don't know. Just a thought. Jesus. Hey, it's Diesel. Diesel's at your place, huh?
It's a fucking train, man. Anyway, you know what I could see? You know what I think is possibly obtainable for Charlotte?
Okay.
I can imagine a universe where Charlotte main event Mania.
That'd be epic. I'd be so happy with that.
I can imagine
Charlotte wins.
In Triple H's world, I think it could happen.
Anyway, move on. I wrote Rusev versus Mark Henry. This match was a dead fish. Because it happened again. This with
a build. How is Rusev not a face yet?
Okay.
Or is he?
This is where Lana is the heel. That's the case, but why? So Rusev is just having his match, and somewhere he's a favorite, and all of a sudden, Lana's just like, nope. And it's like,
Rusev is the most likable foreign heel in history.
I mean, it's true.
Why?
Because he has a giant Bulgarian flag with his face on it.
It's fucking terrible.
Oh, it was amazing. That thing popped out of the ceiling and I lost it. It was so good.
We need podcast art of the American flag with our faces on it.
That'll work. I'll work on that. Make something I can achieve for 1 week special edition cover. Better than the crappy one I photoshopped together today. with Ziggler being until after them per Lana last night on commentary.
I feel like that's a I kind of get the gut feeling that might be a swerve, but I don't take my word as gospel on that or anything. But I feel
like, I don't know. I thought that, and I was like, maybe it is. I don't know. Because you got to think too. When we get Ziggler back, Kane's coming back too.
Right.
So we'll see both coming back at the same time. Baby bomb, child bomb. Rusev, Mark Henry had a match. That was a thing.
Can I just say Lana's Kane Dolph movie?
Their hilarious buddy cop comedy, which it's not, but I want it to be.
I am genuinely stoked for this movie.
We need to, when it comes out, we need to get together and watch it and record a commentary episode for it. Over it.
Sounds wonderful.
A companion episode. Can be good. Let's do that.
Dolph and Kane. How can you beat Dolph and Kane?
There better be a tag team to promote this movie.
I hope so. God, man, I hope there's a Dolph Kane tag team. That's just silly enough to work.
It's true. Any more thoughts on Rusev at this point? There's not anything about him, really, at this point, as sad as that is.
I think they don't have Rusev. I don't think they have anything for him right now, but they're also trying not to lose him in the shuffle. They're not having him job every week. You know what I mean?
Yeah. They're stalling. They're just stalling till Ziggler's back. That's all that's happening.
They're making sure that you're aware he's around, but that's about it.
Yeah. You know what? I think maybe we have a backstage promo from him at SummerSlam and Ziggler attacks him because, you know, Rusev is the heel and therefore he should be attacked. I could totally see that happening at SummerSlam.
If Dolph is back in time, do you think Dolph-Rusev is a SummerSlam match?
Yeah. I think they would have announced it by now. I can look at SmackDown results, see what's happening. See. That totally sounds like a SmackDown kind of thing, since SmackDown is currently on the West Coast. But that's kind of it for the weeks of Raw. It only took us an hour and 15 minutes to go. It's been two good episodes of Raw. Not a whole lot crazy new breaking, but like two solid episodes that advance storylines in a somewhat meaningful way without being Russo level swerves. Thoughts on Raw the last 2 weeks?
You know, my biggest compliment on Raw has been it's been pretty easily watchable. And it's been good wrestling, and I'm never upset to tune in on Monday and see good wrestling.
Yeah. There's not been like a bad match.
Right.
There was some botchy stuff at the end of Rollins Orton last night. There was one botchy spot around the steps during the triple threat last night. But there's not been anything too, like, crazy.
Right, it's been pretty good standard Monday stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. Let's move on. I can't, for some reason, my computer does not have any other websites right now. So let's move on to SmackDown. What is probably our favorite say? Oh, let's talk about this first. Yeah, okay. So I guess, no, I did not watch it. We'll just have a discussion about this. I guess the Divas tag team match that happened on SmackDown this past Thursday.
Am I giving a three-word reaction to this or a full reaction?
No, yeah, we're going to have a discussion about this before we go to three-word reactions. Apparently, it was like a botchy freaking mess. It ended super short, and it ended up with Naomi reversing a small package from Charlotte for a pinfall, and apparently all the heat is on Becky Lynch backstage.
What did she do?
I don't know, because she wasn't even in the ring at the time.
Poor.
It was
Becky.
And like all the women looked like really pissed off at the end of the match. It was so weird. But like, I think again, this is like weird overreaction by all the dirt sheets being like, "Hey, look, we got shit going on, and there's so much anger, and everything's not perfect in Divas Land." Because it's going well, so we have to complain about it, right?
Right.
But, yeah, so that's the thing that happened. It should be noted because that's a somewhat major story that's kind of taken up the dirt sheets and the news sites over the last 4 days at this point, I guess.
You know, I like Becky. Maybe this will result in a single feud. Sometimes backstage he does that.
Yeah. I think Becky has to get, she's one that when they get to the singles point, will benefit the most. Because right now she's not in a good spot. Because her personality certainly needs to come through.
I agree. I think she needs a good feud. I think her and Fox might not be a bad start for her in the singles division.
Yeah, I can see that, and I'm totally okay with that, I guess. This Foxy's a good worker. She's solid. And I think with someone the caliber of Becky Lynch, it would even put her further over. This is not okay. Yeah, this will work. All right, so this is my favorite statement of the show. It's the only segment we have in the show other than rambling about Raw. Three-word SmackDown results. It's the working title. I'm going to tell you what happened in a segment on SmackDown or a match on SmackDown or whatever. He's going to react in three words. So, in no particular order, also. So, let's begin. You ready? You up for the challenge?
I'm up for it. Hit me.
Let's do it. So Stardust and Zack Ryder had a match. It was apparently a pretty good match. Ryder, of course, does the job. Stardust has a promo after calling out Stephen Amell, as we already knew, which led to what happened on Raw Monday. The commentators were really pushing, you know, really thinks he's Stardust and thinks that Amell is a superhero. And so we're looking for that, to that, yeah. Three-word reaction.
Woo, woo, woo.
Primetime players of Mark Henry in a six-man tag match versus The New Day. Went on a couple of segments. Apparently all the spots were well executed by all six men. Much as, you know, Titus O'Neil gets his hot tags. D. Young looks good when he's, you know, getting the crap beat out of him. New Day is amazing. New Day lost. They even cut a promo after that was great. Three-word reaction.
New Day rocks.
Yeah. Okay, we kind of covered the thing, so I'm not going to do a three-day reaction. Three-word reaction. Three-day reaction. So then the major angle on SmackDown this week. Reigns opens the show with a promo talk about Wyatt. Talks about, you know, Wyatt using Battleground for a family reunion. Reigns said he's bring his psychotic brother to his side to help take down the Wyatt family at SummerSlam. Then Reigns' pre-announced opponent for the night, Rusev, appears on the stage with Hot Summer, because I guess that's what we're calling her now, on the top of the ramp to interrupt him. Says, you know, don't be worried about Wyatt because you're facing me tonight. Reigns then stands up for all women because that makes sense in a one-night feud. They have a match. Pretty standard, decent main event between these two guys. Nothing crazy, but solid. Rusev had some brutal offense, but Reigns fought back. Reigns was in control. Rusev got control. Looked like he was going to stamp out Reigns' comeback. When Lana attacked Hot Summer, Reigns hits the spear out of nowhere. Spear out of nowhere to win. Making Reigns only the third person to pin Rusev clean. Three-word reaction. That's four words. I'll give you four words because it was not even that.
Better looking, great feud.
Still four words. Because you can't contain the power of Rusev and Roman Reigns, so you need four words, I guess. I don't know.
I like Rusev. I like.
Okay. Rusev. Yeah. And of course, the SmackDown that actually happens this week, this Friday, is taping right now, so I don't have any recap on that yet. Okay, so I just clicked on this headline because it's the third time I've seen it today. And we're going to explore this together. And if I can actually figure out how to make the audio play over the podcast, I will here. Apparently, I'm gonna read this article straight. This article comes from CagesideSeats.com. Seth Rollins joined Hot Topic for a Hot Minute segment, which was just the current WWE World Heavyweight Champion answering a bunch of random questions within 60 seconds. Obviously, okay. I could just play it. Let's see if I can make this work. Ooh, testing things. It's a good thing there's 30 minutes left before we get cut off. All right, I'm going to change a little setting here real quick, and you tell me if you can still hear me. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Ooh, fancy. Did you hear an echo of yourself when you talked?
No.
Ooh. Okay, so I'm going to play this interview. Tell me if you can hear it. Can you hear that?
Not well.
Okay, let's see here. We're learning on the fly here, folks. Okay. Oh my God, I'm going to blow my eardrums out. Okay, here we go.
WWE World Heavyweight Champion Seth Rollins.
How about that? Could you hear that? All right. Was that better?
I could hear it. I could kind of hear it.
Okay. All right. We're going to go with that because I know it's recording.
Pretty close.
I know it's recording. Yeah, okay. All right. So let's do this. Apparently the last is where all this comes. So here's Seth, and we'll comment on Seth Rollins answering dumb questions. Okay. So, I've not seen that video before, so I didn't realize none of it would make sense for anyone because I thought they would actually ask him the questions from point A to point B, which they don't. So all you got to hear was random answers to questions that you didn't know the answer to.
Well,
it wasn't nice. Okay. Okay, so I'm going to read it. Here's a good game to fill time. I'm going to read, okay, so this is Seth Rollins being interviewed with a bunch of random questions. I'm going to reread his answer, and I want you to tell me what the question was.
Okay.
Okay. The answer is, it's like Jeopardy for WWE. This is great. I've never seen Metallica, so they would be my headliners. A Day to Remember, Parkway Drive, The Wonder Years, May Day Parade, pretty much a Warped Tour with Metallica on top.
Dream concert, I guess.
Yeah, you got a dream concert lineup. One for one. Grumpy Cat got right here in the heart, right there.
Okay, say that one again for me.
Grumpy Cat got me right here in the heart, right there.
What's your favorite meme?
No, ever been starstruck. One for two. Mad Max.
Favorite movie.
I'll give it to you. Best. I'll give you one. Two for three. Grizzly Bear.
Who would you be most afraid to fight in a match at WrestleMania, maybe?
What is your spirit animal? What is your spirit animal?
Spirit animal is a grizzly bear. Interesting.
Yeah, that's weird. All right, two for four. Sweet pickles. And I'm going to 100% agree Collins on this one.
Least favorite food.
Yes, absolutely. Three. Sweet pickles are the worst. Bread and butter pickles may be the worst thing. Thank you. They should be dill. All pickles should be dill. Next answer is, gotta get that sugar dog. Donuts.
Favorite snack.
I'll give it to you. After workout snack.
Okay.
As a kid, oh shit, I fucked that one up. as a kid, he wanted to be WWE Heavyweight Champion. Anyway. It's actually easy because he said this many times before. Shawn Michaels.
His favorite wrestler.
Yep. Broken Mandible. Yeah, that's the one.
Say again?
Broken Mandible. Yeah, that's the one.
I have no idea.
You gotta guess something. Broken Mandible. Yeah, that's the one.
Sindri, maybe?
Yes! You got it!
Look at me.
New York. New York, you're on a roll now.
Favorite venue?
No, city with the loudest fans.
Oh, okay. Well, that's crap.
Yeah. Any airport in America all morning at 4 a.m., they're all weird.
Least favorite place? Maybe, I don't know.
Weirdest fan interaction. At an airport in America on Wednesday morning at 4 a.m. My stepdad.
Okay, I'm trying to stay show appropriate here. Role model, maybe?
I'll give it to you. Who's your hero? That works. You have to tell me later what you thought it was. You can tweet it. Tweet it out later. Game of Thrones.
Favorite show.
Yeah, TV show obsession. Deadpool.
Favorite superhero.
I'll give it to you. Super villain, but yeah, I'll give it to you. I can rock some Guitar Hero if that counts.
Do you play any instruments?
Half credit. Any hidden talents? Mint chocolate chip.
Our favorite ice cream flavor.
Wrong. Worst flavor. What a guy is. I do not like mint chocolate chip. He said it was the worst ice cream flavor.
Aww.
He is the ultimate heel. He doesn't like mint chocolate chip. He needs to say that on Raw because he's going to get nuclear heat. I like sports games. Assassin's Creed is really good.
Favorite video game?
Yep. Skydiving, I think.
Dream or goal or something? Like, what's your dream? I don't know. That's a tough one. That's weird.
You're on the right track. Number one on his bucket list. Skydiving.
Got it.
Legos.
Favorite childhood toy?
And then the coup de grace and what this article is titled after. A free-range chicken. I just want to roam freely in the land. Free-range chicken. I would make a good chicken. There's a lot of jokes there about his character. It's pretty good.
Like ultimate pet, I guess. I don't know. That's weird.
No. I hope I'm reincarnated as.
Oh God.
So yes, Seth Rollins wants to be reincarnated as a chicken. That article's up on that article in that video is up on camera. You can see it there. You know what? There's a Twitter. I could tweet it out. Look at that. I'm going to do it right now while I'm talking, and I can't multitask, so. Booyah, up on the Twitter, look at that. Look at that, we talked about something, it went on Twitter.
We're getting off the
phone. I know, we're getting there. One day, with like no technical hiccups. This was a good show, I think. I think we did good today. The free word review on the show.
Three word review on our show?
Yeah, because I think we're done. Do you have anything else? Because
no,
I don't really have anything else.
Three word review. We're getting there. SummerSlam. We're getting there. We're on the way.
Show's getting cool. Well, thanks for listening to yet another episode of Trainwreck Wrestling Radio. This one was not as bad as the first. We're getting there. We're getting there. You should be able to find us on iTunes. Find us on iTunes. Bit of there. Hopefully, we're getting approved. On Stitcher as well, if you have Android. Of course, always blogtalkradio.com/out of nowhere. We're there. You can follow us on Twitter at Out of Nowhere Show with no W, Out of Nowhere SHO. You can find us there. You can find us on Twitter at JC Bobbitt. Teach, plug yourself.
I'm at Teachster77.
Teachster77, yeah. So yeah, we were the viewers, we're getting there. That sounds about right. Let's see if I can play this music to close this out too. This game. There we go. I don't like there's a delay. It drives me crazy. Yeah, so I guess that'll work. Thank you to whatever royalty-free source I got this music from today. I don't remember. Yeah, so I think that'll do it for another episode Out of Nowhere. Let me see. That's where you say I'm TJ.
All right. Peace.
There we go. And I guess we'll... catch y'all next week.
Bye-bye. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.